You are listening to BensTorah.com.
This year is an incredible overview of a very important halachic issue that unfortunately many people are being confronted with, and that is the question of the halachic permissibility to undergo organ transplants when their actual physical organs are no longer functioning. Unfortunately, nobody gives shiurim on this, and many people just do it because they're told by the doctors this is the only way you're going to survive, et cetera, and et cetera. But nobody has the chance to really ask the questions, what can be done, what cannot be done, what's the halacha? And what I want to do is clear up all the confusion today to explain to you how, in our Hashkafas HaTorah, we have pretty, pretty positive ideas of how you can use transplant surgery according to halacha. In fact, I think of all the most religious on the face of this earth, we're probably the one that has the greatest halachic leniencies and the greatest halachic supervision of what has to be done and how it has to be done and who should go for a transplant, who shouldn't go for a transplant. We have a whole literature that no other religion on the face of this world has such a detailed group of halachic statements guiding us through the entire tremendous amount of questions that are posed when it comes to organ transplants. And this is from the perspective of being a donor, from the perspective of being a recipient. So I want you to sit back and listen carefully. In last week's class, which I purposely dealt with the concept of the mitzvah of burying a person as quickly, as respectfully, as bekovedik as possible. And I talked about the Issa performing just scientific investigation, autopsies on Jewish bodies, which under normal circumstances is halachically prohibited, because as I pointed out last week, when you're doing an autopsy, that's not halachic sanctioned. You're being mevatel the mitzvah of kfuras ames. You're violating the iser of halonis ames, not burying the person as quick as possible, it's a lav. You're violating the iser of nivel ames, doing something to show disrespect and disdain to the body itself. You're violating iser having hanah from the mess. And also you're being makif the kapara of the mess by not burying it as quickly as possible, causing the neshama tzar and pain when they see the body being manipulated without halachic permissibility. There's a lot of stuff, but usually doing autopsies without halachic permission is a major no-no. And surely what's being done today, Rachmana Litzlan, where you have so many advertisements of people talking about save money and cremate the body, that is surely connected halacha and hashkafa on every level you could possibly think. The fact of the matter is, when you cremate the body, besides violating all the isurim I just mentioned up until now, it's as if you've been kofer in tchias ha-meisim and the concept of the nitzrias of the tchias ha-meisim living into the next world. All of this stuff is basically shown to be literally violated hashkafli halachically when you do something to literally eradicate the whole body, not committed to proper halachic burial. So that we took care of last week. What I want to deal with today is an important question, and that is, we discussed last week when halachic autopsies are permissible, and I gave you some examples of it. For instance, a person underwent a major medical therapy using certain types of toxic medicines, or a person underwent a very, very unique medically approved type of surgical procedure and somebody passed away as a result of the surgery or the medicine being administered to them. And the hospital wants to do an immediate postmortem, a limited one, to find out where they went wrong with the surgery so they shouldn't cause other people who are waiting to have the surgery to have the same mistake done to them. You correct it so therefore the next person will not die because of the surgery. Toxic medicine, they're going to reevaluate what part of the toxicity of the medicine caused the person's death, so they can make a new formulation of the medicine, perhaps taking away a certain damaging chemical that caused the unfortunate phenomenon that the person died by taking this toxic medicine. And therefore, by reformulating this specific formula of the medicine, they'll be able to give it to other people who are waiting to take it with the new formulation, so they shouldn't have the negative consequences. Or a person who is a subject of a criminal mischief murder, and the crime experts say we have to do a limited postmortem to find out how the person was killed, what was the weapon that was used, what was the poison perhaps that was used, and they have to do a postmortem in order to discover that information. Once again, the Nodeb Yehuda, who is the one who gave all these heterim of Pekuach Nefesh, being Docha, Kol HaTorah Kula, including all the Isurim involved in manipulating a dead body, in his tshuva he talks about even doing an investigation for a criminal mischief investigation to find out the cause of death so you can bring the murderer to trial based upon the information you get from the autopsy. And number two, not only can you bring the person to trial, which will be a covet for the mess to do such, that the murderer is found and punished, but number two, the fact of the matter is that when you find the murderer of this person, you're also preventing this person from being a murderer of other people in the future. So there's a pekuach nefesh of even the tzibur that's accomplished in this type of unique, limited postmortem autopsy. So these are the piskei halachas that are quoted by the Gedolei Hadar based upon the shuva of the Nodeb Yehuda in the 1700s. The Chasam Sof agreed with him in the 1800s. And Rav Tukachinsky, in his sefer, Gesha Chaim, which is the compendium, one of the most thorough compendiums in all the halachas of Avelis, and halachas dealing with Avelis and Kavod Ames, and etc., and etc., he quotes all of these halach lamas, and therefore this is the consensus, I would say the majority of poskim. What I want to deal with today is the question that is formulated in the following format. If I want to do a postmortem autopsy for the sake of extracting an organ which can save another Jew or Jewess immediately by having the organ taken from this person's dead body and put into this person who's the recipient's body to replace their totally dysfunctional and totally organ dysfunctionality that it has, am I allowed therefore to do an autopsy to remove an organ and transplant this organ from a dead body, a cadaver organ, into the body of a live person for the purpose of their pekuach nefesh, saving their life? So this was a more modern day question until they were able to get the technology to even do this. And halacha lamasa, there was a big debate. And I want to give you now the various parts of the debate and deal with certain types of transplant surgery to know what the consensus psak is. There's always going to be people against everything, and therefore there's no question everybody agrees 100% on what I'm telling you today. But the Rav Gedolei HaPeskim that deal with the topic, I will give you what their opinion is, so you'll have a better idea what halacha says about this and the halachic phenomenon behind the scenes that gives halachic support to what I'm telling you. So listen very carefully. There is first a famous machlokas that took place in the 1800s between two Gedolei Hadar. One was the Chasam Sofer, or Moshe Sofer, and the Binyan Tzion, or Rav Etlinger, two Gedolei HaPeskim, that dealt bichlal with the concept whether you can take an organ out of a dead body of a Jew to transplant it into a Jew who needs that organ in order to survive and live. Does the mitzvah pekuach nefesh being docha the isur of nivel hamesu kedaymer, which is mentioned by the Nodeb Yehuda and the Chasam Sofer and other gedolim of that generation, halach lamasa, does that apply when it comes to organ transplantation as well? And basically, the machlokas between the Chasam Sofer and the Binyan Tzion follows in the following format. What the Chasam Sofer says is that at the end of the day, our body and our soul belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Odom Kinyana El Kinyan HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The body belongs to God. The soul belongs to God. We, during our lifetime, have the mitzvah of Nishmartam Odin Afshasechem. We have to protect our body and soul against any type of negative influences, whether it's a physical danger, a spiritual danger. That's a mitzvah we have, a achrayus we have, as being shomrim on our body and our soul during our lifetime, and to use them only for positive, constructive, healthy types of activities that support our physicality and support our spirituality. Now, according to the Chasam Sofer, unquestionably, once a person, nevech, passes away, the fact of the matter is the person's dead body is in front of us. All the mitzvahs of Shmiras HaMes and Kvuras HaMes and Taras HaMes, all those halachas normally kick in. What happens if the person has an organ that still has a functional capacity to be transplanted into a person who is suffering miserably and could die if they don't receive this organ, does Pikuach Nefesh, Docha V'Isav, all these serum involved when it comes to taking body parts or doing autopsies from a dead body, is it allowed to be violated for the sake of Pikuach Nefesh and giving somebody an organ that will basically give them the ability to survive? So the Pikuach Nefesh are doing this transplant surgery. Is this allowed by Halacha? And the Chasam Sofer said the issue over here is the Bein Adam L'Makom Isho, because at the end of the day, the body and the soul belong to the Rabbeinu Shalom. And if that's the case, since Hashem paskind, we paskin that way, because nefesh is dacha kol ha'tera kula, all these serum involved in doing something to violate the body of a mess can be violated if you're basically saving somebody's life. If there's a chola lefaneinu, a person who could be an immediate recipient of this organ which will save their life, all these serum can be violated. Well, this is aseve lo sase involved, which I started off to share with today, which I discussed last week, can be violated for the sake of pikuach nefesh. That's the psak given by the Chasam Sofer. In fact, the Chasam Sofer says we don't even have to ask the permission of the person who died to take the organ. At least technically speaking, that's his halachic opinion. It's a question of being able to use a dead body of a Jew to save the life of another Jew or Jewess. He felt that that halacha of Pikuach Nefesh being dach applies in all these areas, and he would be maskim for this type of operation. Now, is this a chiyuv? Is this a rashus? So what's interesting and fascinating is that many of the gedolim point out how fascinating this is that technically speaking, when a person's alive, you chayiv in all the mitzvahs. Once a person dies, they're pater b'chol mitzvahs haksuvos, but they're exempt from all mitzvahs that are contained in the Torah itself. Logically speaking, the person who died, once they die, neither they or whatever belongs to them, whatever is theirs, is mechuyiv to be used for the purposes of salvation of somebody else's life, because they're no longer chayiv in Torah v'mitzvahs. So some of Farshim interpret the Chasam Sofer as saying that not that you're mechuyiv to take the organ of the dead body to save somebody else's life, but you're allowed to do such, especially if the person during the lifetime gave a gila hadas that they would allow that to take place, or they told their mishpacha, who their surrogates, who they have on their halachic living will, that that would be something they'd be willing to do if they can literally save somebody's life by donating this organ posthumously, that the Chasam Sofer would allow it. And in fact, according to him, you don't even have to have a written document basically conveying the idea of the permissibility. But it's not a chiv to do it. It's only basically a reshus, an option. And that's the psak of the Chasam Sofer. The Binyan Sin, however, said in his conceptual analysis and the various truths he wrote upon this, that giving a body part when it comes to a person dying to somebody else to save their life is not just a Ben Adam L'Makom, as the Chasam Sofer says, but he adds it's also a concept of Ben Adam L'Chavero. It's, you know, it basically involves two phenomena: your relationship with our God, Tzivuyim, and commands, and your own bialos and ownership rights over your body, whether you're basically alive or even if you passed away. And therefore, he feels halacha l'maaseh for this type of procedure to take place. Not only do you need the Rabbeinu Shalom's permission to do such, but you need the permission of the chola from which the body part is being taken for him to be mochel when it comes to using his body part for the purpose of saving somebody else's life. Once again, he points out that the chiyuv of doing something with your body or your money to save life applies when you are alive, because you own your property, a chayiv, based upon Asamad Adam Riacha, to not stand by, but to try to save somebody's life if you can. But that's when you're mechuyiv in mitzvahs. When you're not mechuyiv in mitzvahs, you and your possessions are not chayiv to be used for anything once you pass away, because halacha l'masa, if you didn't give permission, it belongs to you. There's no way anybody could ever give you back a body part or give you any remuneration, even when you're alive. If a person uses your property for the purposes of saving their life, there's a chiv of tashum. They got to pay you back and reimburse you for whatever possession they took from you when you were alive to basically save their life. They have to reimburse you the halacha. And this is based upon the Gemara and Baba Kama, the way the Rishayim and the Baal HaTeis is paskin over there. But when you're taking a body part of a dead person, there's no way of ever paying this person back. There's no way of ever regenerating this organ back into the person you took it from. So over here, says the Binyan Tzion, you need a definite gilui from the person who is dying or from the surrogate to say that they gave permission to use the body part to save somebody else's life. And once they basically gave that permission, you allow possibilities to take the organ to save somebody's life. And this, therefore, halacha l'masa, is an important factor when it comes to the permission to take an organ from a person who died. And you say, because nefesh is doch the surm I mentioned before, dealing with a dead person's body, to transplant the organ to somebody who can live by receiving the specific organ. Now, when it comes to practical halacha l'masa, when the Gedolim deal with this, their basic consensus opinion is, as I mentioned before, when a person dies, they're pater from all mitzvahs, you are pater, the possessions you own are basically pater, and therefore, to basically sustain the concerns of the Binyan Tzion together with the Chamsam Sofer, they point out that it can't be done against the will of the person who died. That basically speaking, halacha l'masa, there has to be a gila hadas either in writing or in a verbal tzava, that basically you're going to give the right to do this, to use the body part for an immediate transplant of a cholof aneinu who can live and survive because of receiving this organ. But there has to be a permission given. There's no way of forcing somebody's body part to be given away. You put them in mitzvahs, you can't force a person to put them in mitzvahs from doing anything that might harm or destroy the body parts that have a chiyuv of kavura and an isur of doing anything to menabel the body of the person who died. But nevertheless, halacha l'masa, you are technically speaking allowed to give the body part away to save life if the permission was given. It's a rishus, it's an option, it's not a chiyuv, it's not a definite halachic mandate that you have to do this. And this is the way that you take together the Psukim of the Chasam Sofer and the Binyan Tzion to make some type of bishara, to give us some type of structure when it comes to giving a body part for the purpose of Pekuach Nefesh, of another Jew and Jewess who need this body part to survive. Now, with that little introduction, let's get in now to the halach l'masa, dealing with different types of operations of transplants. One of the earliest transplants that were done goes back to the early 1900s. The gadol who dealt with these types of transplants was the great Rav Unterman, one of the rabbis of Eretz Israel, very big Talmud Chacham gadol, and he was also very, very into medical halacha, especially when it comes to shaylas like this, of modern shaylas that have come up based upon new techniques in medical practices and surgical procedures. And he said the following. The first type of organ donation that they wanted to use dealt with a corneal transplant. You know, the cornea, quite obviously, which is over the lens of your eye, is a crucial factor in allowing you to see if, God forbid, it gets damaged. And unfortunately, it's not clear anymore. You're not able to see with that eye. So he says if a person, unfortunately, had two different corneas that were both dysfunctional, which made, therefore, you functionally not able to see because the actual cornea, which protects the lens and basically helps the lens focus, is no longer functional because of this specific deficiency contained in the actual cornea. He looked upon a person with bilateral dual corneal dysfunctionality as a potential cholos yesh ba sakana, God forbid, even with a cane, even with a guard dog, you can still be killed when it comes to perhaps crossing a street with what's going on in the world today. You can still fall in all different types of excavation holes that are popping up all over, excavating our highways and our byways and our sidewalks. You could be mugged by crazy people who are mugging even people that can see with all their eyes. The amount of danger is going around today, especially if you're a Jew and Jewess, you're a target for tremendous people who are crazy maniacs when it comes to being terrorists, who love Rahman al-Islam to kill Jews. So being in this world, even with the cane and with the icing dog, you're still in the state of Pekuch Nefesh, and if he felt to do a transplant on your corneas to give you the ability to see again is a concept of Pekuch Nefesh being Docha, all these surah mentioned before, and therefore he would allow it to be done based upon Pekuch Nefesh being Docha, the Isar, when it comes to Nivul Hametz. The question that he posed, however, is when you have a unilateral corneal dysfunctionality, when only one cornea or one of your eyes is dysfunctional but the other one's working, now you can see at least with one eye, what do you do in that case? So there were some poskim who say that even having the ability to see with one eye and not having the ability to able to see from both sides of your head and giving the ability to move your head here and there and able to see not only what's in front of you, on the side of you, what's even back of you, once you have a dysfunctionality in of one eye, that puts you in a sakanas nefashis, and therefore they felt that that would also be a sakana enough for you, especially in today's environment, today's society, for you to be able to have the head up because nefesh being docha, isani to a chames, and to fix that one eye with a cadaver cornea as well. There are others who hold halach l'masa, another chiddush, and Rav Unterman mentions this chiddush. Rav Unterman said, based upon a sugi in Masech de Sota, that when you take an organ that has basically is being taken from a dead body, that has all the halachas and isurim related to it, mitzvahs related to it that I mentioned last week's shir, and I alluded to in the beginning of today's shir, that once you take this dead organ and you connect it to a live body, and when it's connected to a live body, it revitalizes this organ, makes it functional. This organ now takes away the chesaron, the problem that the sick person has, and allows them now, in this case, to be able to see from both eyes, not just one eye, as an example of the unilateral the surgery over here for the corneal replacement. He claims that halach l'masa, once you take a dead organ and connect it to a live body, it makes it functional again. This organ, believe it or not, undergoes a conceptual tchias ha-mesim. It's reanimated. It's basically now receiving its life, its tchias, from the body of the live person it's been attached to. All these surim of a dead organ that have up until the time of attachment are now eradicated because the actual organ has undergone a new chios, and therefore retroactively, the organ, even though when you took it out was halachically maybe a problem, by the time you attach it to the human being that's going to be able to use this functionally for them to be able to relieve their problem of sight deficiency, is therefore going to animate it. It's going to be a live organ, no longer a dead organ. All these surgeries relating to a dead organ of a dead body basically disappear. And therefore, this specific halakha concept of being basically re-energized and reanimated by being connected to a live body is something that many Paskim deal with, many are maskim, based upon the halakha of taking a branch of an orla tree that's very young, and breaking off the branch and connecting it to what's called the mother tree that already is 5 years old. And therefore, because you're connecting this and grafting it to the mother tree, this branch from the actual other tree, if it produces fruit, it's because of the connection to the mother tree that's giving its nourishment, giving it chios, giving it the ability to develop fruit. Once again, this arla fruit that would have come from it if it's still connected to the old arla tree, which is also an Isa Darais, Isa Achili, Isa Hana, disappears because these fruits are now being animated based upon being connected to this mother tree. And the Gemara says, and so if that's the case, the fruits that are produced from it are no longer arla, they're basically based upon the supporting the nutritional mother tree that's giving this branch that's been grafted with, a new chias, a new identity. It's that Gemara that later on is used by the poskim to say that the body that's animating this specific organ, this specific part that's connected to it, gives it a new halachic identity and allows it to be used for the purposes of pekuach nefesh, and all these serim dealing with a body part that's dead disappear because of the connection to a live body. This is one of the chidushim Rav Unterman used, and many gedolim later on use this in other types of organs as well, when it comes to the halakhic permissibility to do a organ transplant, even though it might not be a full-fledged sakanas nefashos, as when a person has bilateral, but literally to be able to rejuvenate this specific organ by being connected to the body, this halakha lamasa is a kula. There's one other kula mentioned by the Kolba and others who claim that it could be that the cornea has the status of skin, not the status of flesh of your body. And there are some Bali Tassas who held that the chiv of all these surim of MS apply to the actual flesh of the body, but perhaps does not apply to the skin top of the body. And once you call the cornea skin, not the actual flesh of the body, all these surim I mentioned before, when it comes to the skin of the body, does not have the isurim that I alluded to before. This Sashita Satasis that Kova uses is another reason to allow even a unilateral form of transplant when it comes to eyesight. So that's case number one. Case number two is the famous transplant called a kidney transplant. Now, in time of antiquity, halakha lamasa, the only type of kidneys we had available for purposes of transplantation were basically cadaver organ parts of a person who, quite obviously speaking, had just recently died. And what happened is the person's own kidney was totally dysfunctional. This person didn't die from kidney failure. The kidney was okay. And you want to harvest this kidney, transplant it in the person to give them now a kidney that's functional. Once it's connected to the body, it will function again, and the body will be mechayed, as I just mentioned. So over here, once again, without this specific kidney, the person cannot survive. With this new kidney they receive, it will give them the ability to process what it has to process, clean out the body, and therefore allow halakha lamasa for this specific transplant to work and save pikuach nefesh of this person. This was allowed also because you have the mitzvah pikuach nefesh being dacha all the yisurim, and that was when we used cadaver kidneys. That was the shayla, that was the question of the recipient. The operation quite obviously has to be a refuah beduka operation. That's been shown that in a good majority of cases, the kidney transplant is a success and keeps the person alive and maintains their chios. So halakha lamasa, you know, cadaver kidney transplants were allowed initially when this became a refuah beduka and showed success. However, over time,
you are listening to what happened was
the medical world realized that there's a better option if you're dealing with kidneys, and that is instead of giving a cadaver kidney transplant, they said that if people want to, since they have two kidneys and they can survive with one, if they want to donate their kidney to another person that they should have a live kidney transplant from their body to the person who's the recipient who needs a kidney because they can't survive without another kidney being given to them, that the poskim had a tremendous discussion concerning the permissibility when it comes to live kidney transplants. And over here, halakha lamasa, what they pointed out was, is that once it was proven that this is a refuah beduka and this is a better chance of having the kidney that's transplanted successfully take over and give the person chios for a substantial amount of time by receiving this kidney that's a live kidney, not one from a mess, the isurim involved halakha lamasa when it comes to the isurim of taking the organ from a mess is no longer applicable in this specific shayla. Here the shayla is, can a person be a donor of a live organ from his body, where Hashem gave him two and he basically wants to take one and give it away? Are you allowed to do a thing like that? Are you mechuyev to do a thing like that? When it comes to the recipient already we saw when it comes to dead cadaver kidney transplants was already paskin once it's a refuah beduka to be allowed. Alas kama v'kami, giving them even a better kidney that's a live kidney from a live body, if it's a refuah beduka, should be halachically allowed. We'll talk about more about this in a minute. But the big shayla in those tshuvas that dealt with this question was the person who's the donor. Can I put myself in a state of sakana, of giving one of my kidneys away for the sake of saving somebody else's life? And there was a big deal. And at the end of the day, the psak halacha that was given, and it's based upon the tshuva of the Radvaz and others, is that the Radvaz says when it comes to pikuach nefesh, of saving somebody else's life, The Rabbi Nishan quite obviously allowed us to do things and when Machayu was to do things that might involve a momentary risk on our part in order to save another human being's life. And there's Al Gemara in Masechet Sanhedrin, if a person is drowning in the river and doesn't know how to swim, and a person who's a lifeguard can jump in, even though they're putting themselves in momentary sakana to save them from the flowing waters that are flowing very, very, very roughly over here. The lifeguard, if he's an experienced lifeguard who knows what to do and knows how to swim in these types of waters, he can risk putting himself in minimum amount of sakana to save the person with Hatzalas Nefashas and take him out of the flood and save them. And do whatever he has to do afterwards, CPR and everything else, when it comes to trying to bring the person back and literally give them chias again. But over here, we're not just dealing with a person using their body energies and the chachma of how to basically save a person's life. You're literally sacrificing an organ of your body that keeps you alive, since you have two, for the sake of hatzalas nefashas or somebody else. So the Radvaz is very explicit over here. He says, when it comes to chiyuvim, there will never ever be a chiyuv, according to Torah law, for a person to have to sacrifice a body organ that they have that might be extra for them to save another human being's life. He says it could not be that the Rabbeinu Shem, whose Torah is we talk about the halacha of the hashkafas of Torah, the acher, the achinoim, the chonis of aser shalom, that when Hashem tells us to do something, it has to be something that's done with a certain amount of peace, equity, truthfulness, emistikait, taking all types of phenomena into consideration. Cutting off a body part to save somebody else is never a chiyuv, according to Torah law, when it comes to pikuach nefesh and hatzalas nefashais. The most it might be, says the Ravaz, is a reshus, a permissibility. And now the question is a permissibility to do it. The question is, how healthy are you to be a one to give this away? So you have to have a full medical analysis of the donor to see how healthy you are in general, even with all their body parts there, let alone when you're taking away one kidney, that has to be analyzed. And number two, if the amount of sakana to the person that's giving this kidney is minimal in nature, you know, it's, we're not talking about a 50-50 chance of your survival by giving it, but much, much minimal, less sakana to the person who's the donor based upon their state of health, there would be a permissibility for you to do it if you want to do it. Nobody can force you to do it. You're not chayiv to do it because of the Ravaz is klal gadol. And therefore, people do donate their kidneys to save other people's lives, live kidney transplants, but this has to be really analyzed very, very intensely by the doctors concerning the health of the donor there. That's the real major question that we're dealing with. But I do want to admit to you that despite the fact so much emphasis is placed in halacha when it comes to the donor, despite this, there's a gadol in Eretz Yisrael, one of the Rosh Yeshivas, whose name is Rav Moshe Meislemin, who says even when it comes to the recipient, there's also a halachic concern when it comes to being willing to undergo a kidney transplant where there are other options, the option of dialysis. So I want to read you quickly what Rav Meislemin says when it comes to his opinion, a risk-benefit when it comes to the recipient, not just the donor. What he says is the following. When it comes to a person receiving a kidney transplant, and he's talking about a live one, the fact of the matter is, should he, as the patient, undergo an operation, which can also be dangerous. Any operation can be dangerous. People die in normal operations, even though many people survive them. So he says the following, that if the prognosis of the patient's life expectancy is not enhanced by doing the transplant, and he can live the same exact time using a dialysis mechanism, he felt that the patient can't undergo the transplant procedure and take the chance of undergoing an operation that's not necessary to maintain his life for a certain period of time, because every operation that you undergo, no matter what the operation is, could have a dangerous downside. No operations are 100% perfect for everybody who undergoes those operations. This remains the halacha, even if the patient wants to forego the higher life expectancy in order to spare himself the extreme unpleasantness of dialysis therapy. Nevertheless, if, however, a new kidney would prolong the patient's life longer than if they continue on dialysis therapy, he would be permitted to have a kidney transplant. So this is the concept quoted by Rav Meiselman, as that tonight, that even when it comes to the recipient, it depends upon life expectancy, it depends upon quality of life, a lot of different things go into it, whether we allow even the person to be the recipient of a live kidney transplant, according to the definitions and terms and discussion of this specific type of case. So once again, it's a reshus to do a kidney transplant. Preferably, we do live kidney transplants. It's a question not only in the donor and their health and ability for them to survive with only one kidney, but it's a question when it comes to the recipient as well, as Rav Meiselman just mentioned. Keep that in mind as I now go to the next category. The next category, halach lamasa, since we're dealing with live, is we're going to go to what's called a live liver transplant, which is done today. Now, a live living transplant, quite obviously, you only have one liver. So how do you do a live liver transplant? So what they basically do is they're able to cut off part of the lobe of the liver of the person who is the donor, transplant that into the body of the person whose liver has become totally dysfunctional, diseased, cannot be used. And the magic of a liver transplant is really something that's incredible when it comes to Hashem's bria of a human being. The liver is the only organ we have in our body that can regenerate itself back to its physical total size. Therefore, what happens is when you take a part of a liver lobe and you put it into the recipient, ultimately that liver lobe in the recipient grows into a full-fledged liver in the body of the recipient, and the person who gave a part of the lobe as the donor regenerates itself into a full-fledged liver as well. So you now have two livers from one liver, and both have full-fledged organs after a certain period of time. It's one of the incredible phenomena we have in medical science today. And Baruch Hashem, people who have undergone live liver transplants have, quite obviously, with tremendous Yata Deshmai, survived, and it's given them a total refuah on those who had Nevech totally dysfunctional. It's been okay for the recipient. It's been okay for the donor. And you have to ask for Siyata Deshmaya, once again, that you succeed. Now, once again, for a person to be a donor, their health has to be checked. Their quality of life has to be checked before you can even be a donor for this. Once again, since you're giving an organ from your body, going for the Radvaz, it's a reshus that you have, but it is surely not a halachic obligation to do this type of activity. I want to emphasize that. But it is a reshus, it is a permissibility to do this. When it comes to the recipient, if they're undergoing this, they don't have something besides, there's no such thing as a machine to keep you alive if your liver is no longer functioning. So the only option is, if the person has a defective liver, is to be a recipient of it. Here, there's only one choice. What Meisner said before about kidneys, you can't apply to receiving a liver transplant. So if that's the case, you have to see the level of sickness of the person who has this diseased liver, how dysfunctional is it, what's going to be the situation over here, and to try to keep a person on machinery, meanwhile, to do what the liver does until you find a liver donor is what perhaps you're able to do momentarily. It's not a long-term solution like dialysis might be. But halach lamasa, you're allowed to do this operation. It's a reshus, it's not a chiyuv. But it is possible, based upon modern science and the capacity of modern science and modern surgical procedures, it basically saves the life of the recipient if it works. And the person who's the donor, ultimately, since his liver grows back, he's not sacrificing an organ from his body that will not function anymore, like by a kidney. It's going to regenerate itself. So it's an interesting type of operation. It's very dangerous. Perhaps even more dangerous than that of a kidney transplant, but nevertheless, halacha allows it based upon this refuah baduk. It's been tested and tried and shown to be effective. Post-operative care is very crucial when it comes to these operations, because there are cases of people who survived the operation and were successful, but didn't receive the proper post-operative care, and nevertheless they passed away because the follow-up was not sufficient. So this is an important factor when it comes to undergoing such types of operations. The next operation I want to deal with happens to be something that's become very popular based upon medical technology today, and that is the concept of heart transplants and lung transplants. When it comes to heart transplants and lung transplants, these are major, major operations done with major surgical teams. Hours upon hours upon hours it takes to do this type of operation. When the heart transplant became a medical possibility many, many years ago, Rav Moshe Feinstein wrote in the Tshuva, based upon the fact that this had not been proven to be Rafu Beduka, then at the end what you're really doing is you're killing two people. You're killing the person who's the donor. You're killing the person who's the recipient, because this was not a Rafu Beduka yet. But as time went on and as science perfected these surgeries and the modern techniques we have today and the machines we have to keep the body going, when you're doing this, the heart transplant, the fact of the matter is machinery takes over and does what the heart does independently during the operation, so they can basically shut your heart down and let the machines take over with the functionality, what the heart did, and in order for them to remove this heart and put in a different heart. What we're able to do today is simply amazing. It's Chochmah of Maaseh Bereishis, of Chochmah Sarafua, that we're able to know today. So the fact is, heart transplants have shown and demonstrated to be halachically permissible. So Rafu Beduka now. And not only were they able to do this with the heart, but you're able to do this also with the lungs as well. And there are special medical centers in the United States that specialize in heart transplants and lung transplants. But there's one major problem over here that I have to bring up. And that is, when it comes to doing a heart transplant or a lung transplant, the person who's the donor must be dead, according to halacha, in order to extract this dead organ for the purposes of implanting it into the person who's a recipient. If the person who's giving the heart and lung is still alive, that means you're killing the donor to save the recipient, which is an isa deraisa, and you have no right to do that whatsoever. So if that's the case, this is where the major halachic problems kick in. What defines halachic death? And at what stage do they remove the heart and the lungs in order for them to successfully be transplanted into the recipient, for this to be a successful heart transplant and lung transplant? This became a major, major medical question going back to the 1960s. And at that point in time, where the definition of death was irreversible cardiac a function, irreversible respiratory function, and to add one more thing that's mentioned by the Chassam Sofer, brought down by the Poskim, the person has to be daimic animate as a stone when it comes to the nervous system. That was the definition of death that Chazal had going back, according to the Chassam Sofer from Har Sinai, of definition when death takes place and when we're in the midst of Kvura, and all halach is dealing with the mess, kick in. This is an answer to the Maritz Chiyas' question that was posed to the Chassam Sofer. This is the psak that was given. And 99.9% of the Gedolim who deal with halachic death basically use that as the determination of when a person is halachically dead. The problem is, what the medical community did is devised another form of death called brain death. Or to be more particular, more explicit, brain stem death, the medulla, where they point out that if you can prove that the medulla of the brain, which controls the physiological phenomena, what happens in your body when it comes to normal things such as breathing, body temperature, hormonal activity, and a lot of other things that the various glands contained in the medulla functionally control, if you can prove that the medulla of the brain has died, they want to look upon this as another form of halachic death. And for that reason, when a person is diagnosed with brain death, even though to do such, you have to be on a respirator and a ventilator, so that even if you're basically speaking, going to say that the person is brain dead, the body still has functionality, the heart still has functionality, by the fact that the air, the oxygen, the carbon dioxide is being regulated by a ventilator, by a respirator, so the heart is still chai v'kayam. They want to declare a person dead when they undergo brain death. This is their opinion of the secular medical world. And this has been accepted by and large internationally as an alternate form of death in their rules and regulations in comparison to the old cardiac respiratory irreversible death, which is the way they used to interpret it going up to the 1960s. So if that's the case, to be a donor of a heart and lungs, you would have to accept halachic death as being brain death in lieu of the cardiac respiratory interpretation of the Gedolim that was the most prominent opinion and is still the most prominent opinion to this very day. It is for this reason that the majority of the Gedolim in this world are of the opinion that we can't call brain death halachic death. It doesn't have all the tzaddai mentioned by the Chasam Sofer in his tshuva, and mentioned by all the Gedolei Hadar after that, Rav Yoshev, Rav Orbach, Rav Zilberstein, I'll go down the list, never held from the halach of brain death being similar to the halach simon of death mentioned by the Chasam Sofer. I can go down a list of all the Gedolei Hadar who did not agree with the brain death interpretation. There were some Gedolim who did want to hold this way. Rabbi Teller held, he called it physiological decapitation. Dr. Steinberg wanted to call this respiratory death. Everybody had a different way of wanting to accept this as halachic death in lieu of the classical definition. So according to these people who hold that way, they therefore allowed you even to be a donor. But according to the majority of Gedolei HaPeskim, there's no question, as long as the heart's beating and the circulation going on in your body, you can't ignore that and just say it's a mechanical phenomenon. And if that's the case, halach lamasa, it's not equal to decapitation, because when you decapitate, everything in your system goes. Not only do you have the respiration stopping and the brain no longer functioning, but you also have the entire circulatory system, once you're decapitated, literally stopping circulation, all the other body functions that take place in the rest of your body itself. So you're really dead as dead can be when you undergo decapitation. Or I tell you when to say there's a kind of physiological decapitation, but that's problematic for many different reasons I don't have time to go into today. At the end of the day, to be a donor for most poskim is a major problem. The only heter you have is to be a recipient of these organs, because that part has become a refuah beduka, but to be a donor is a problem. But now we're faced with the following problem. If the way that the organs of heart and respiratory, and we call heart and lung transplants, was based upon ploni laploni, that we're taking the heart and the lungs from this person specifically for this other person, that one Jew is being basically have his heart or lungs taken out based upon brain death, which going to most poskim is murder to save the person who wants to be the recipient, that would be an isar of being garim ritzicha, of an evil of temichshal, and that would not be halachic allowed for those poskim who don't look upon brain death as halachic death. However, the fact of the matter is, there are many, many thousands of Jews who are going to the major surgical centers being recipients of hearts, being recipients of lungs. Why are they allowed to do such? Why are they told to do such? So Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal wrote an article upon this. And he points out that the way the system works today, you're not violating Lifnaiva by being a recipient of a heart and lung that come on the marketplace to be used to save your life. Why? Because the fact of the matter is, there are special teams that their job is to go around the United States or the world to find people who are not based up, are not involved in Jewish halacha, many times goyim, majority are goyim, even Jews who don't really care about halacha nebuch, who basically want to be gracious and wonderful and donate their heart or their lungs to save somebody else's life. When these organs are harvested, there's no knowledge whatsoever who is going to be the recipient. There are thousands of people on each and every list waiting anxiously for whatever heart becomes available, waiting anxiously for any type of lungs that come. So the harvesting of the lung and heart are done independently, automatically. When you get a hold of the organ, you know that somebody's going to be a recipient. There'll be computer technology trying to make the person who's the recipient as close a match to the person who basically is the donor of the organ itself in many different ways. And therefore, if that's the case, you putting your name on the list is not the cause of these organs being extracted from the person who's the donor, even shleika halacha. It's based upon the fact that since it's going to be extracted, even if you don't know who's on the list, putting your name on the list is not causing that to happen any quicker or any sooner by having your name there. Once the organ has been extracted, and now they're trying to figure out who's going to be the lucky recipient, there are 1,000 people vying for each and every organ that comes available. that doesn't come under Lifna Iva. You're not being government anybody to be killed to harvest the organ. Once the organ is harvested, there's no Iser by Chazal on using this organ to save somebody else's life, as is mentioned by Rabbi Bleich explicitly, even in his Chuvos. So the fact of the matter is, that's the het that we have today, to be a recipient, not a donor. But for the fact of the matter is, that's also allowable. If the only way a person can survive is by halacha lamasa, by undergoing these types of heart transplant or lung transplant surgeries, which are major surgeries, and machinery taking over for you during the time that these surgeries are being done, to give a stationary field to do these surgeries, it's halachically allowable, it's a refuva dukkha today, and allowed to be a recipient, but not to be an actual donor. Very important to remember this chilik. It's very, very important. The only thing I want to mention over here as I finish on this topic, just giving you a little glimpse of what's available in the marketplace today, is that at the end of the day, when you're receiving organs from another person's body to keep you alive, there's one more problem I have to mention, and this is very important. When your body has any type of foreign element come into your body, your immune system, quite obviously speaking, kicks in and wants to kill foreign bodies to not allow bacteria or viruses to enter your body to kill you and destroy you. In order for you to have an organ that's transplanted from somebody else's body, your body, to stay alive and to function, you have to basically suppress your immune system. It shouldn't kill this brand new organ that's trying to save your life. A person, the rest of their life that they have these foreign organs, must be placed on immunosuppressing drugs. Drugs that suppress your immune system, and they therefore will not end up killing basically the person who, technically speaking, is the recipient of these specific organs. So if that is the case, if that is basically the case, you have to be aware that once you undergo this type of organ transplant, you have to be very careful where you go, where you basically socialize with. Many people wear masks or other stuff to make sure they don't have foreign bacteria or foreign types of viruses get into your body to affect you, because if you do and you're on immunosuppressant drugs, they can kill you because of your body's immune system being dysfunctional. So I want you to be aware of that specific problem. That's the downside over here. And you have to be aware of that. You have to understand what that means. Your social life has to change dramatically by undergoing these organ transplants. So let's hope and pray HaKadosh Baruch Hu will continue to give us chachma when it comes to Masa Bereishis, understanding natural to figure out how to help people. I will mention to you that there is a movement today using stem cell research, using somatics and nuclear transfer, etc., using 3D printers, of being able to produce replacement organs using your own cells, your own DNA of your own body to create this. I'd have to give a special share on this independently for you to understand what I'm talking about. But there are ways that perhaps of preventing the last scenario from taking place. Hopefully in the future I might give a share concerning this specific topic. I want to wish everybody refuah shleima, refuah nefesh, refuah guf. Baruch Hashem, we're living in a very fascinating tekufa where modern medicine can cure diseases and prevent diseases and help people who are very, very, unfortunately, have undergone major medical deficiencies because of diseases they have contracted. We have a lot of stuff going on today we didn't have before. The Chachma, Masa Bereishis, the world of medicine and technological medical advances is simply incredible. Let's hope and pray that Rabbeinu Shalom will bring us to the Tkufa of Techiyas HaMesim, and Hashem promised that everybody will undergo a refuah miraculously from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. After that tekufa, most probably we're not going to need doctors or medicine anymore. We're living on a different dog in a different type of context, etc., etc. Let's hope and pray we'll see refuahs and shuas for Klal Yisrael, for the world at large, and we should be able to see the eradication of the disease from the face of this world. We should be able to live healthy bodies and healthy souls, be Ovid Hashem, and be able to live on Netzach Netzachim with Briyas and Nefesh, Briyas Aguf, and do Avedas Hashem, no matter who you are, till the end of time.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.